Being a ministry wife is a vocation without a job description. And let's be honest, sometimes it seems like ministry might be easier if we did have one. If you are a ministry wife like me and are looking for hope, perspective, and a little bit of practical advice regarding your role, you're in the right place. Hi, I'm Christine Hoover. Welcome to the Ministry Wives Podcast, a production of the North American Mission Board. Join me as we hear from women from various ministry contexts, having authentic conversations about our shared joys and challenges, even the ones we're unsure we can talk about. No topic is off limits. Today, my guest is Rivers Parton. Rivers and her husband, Dave, live in Kansas City, where they planted Neighborhood Church about 6 years ago. They have been married for 24 years and have four kids. Rivers is a graduate of Midwestern Theological Seminary, and she serves on the spouse development team at the North American Mission Board. I asked Rivers to join me today to talk about loneliness, and specifically loneliness in ministry. We talk about the gifts that loneliness can bring to us. We talk about the different types of loneliness, and we talk about ways that we can respond when we recognize that we are lonely in ministry. So here, friends, is my conversation with Rivers Parton. Well, I'm so excited to welcome Rivers Parton to the podcast today. Hi, Rivers.
Hi, Christine.
I have to ask you, your name. I've always been like, where that name has to be. Her parents must have had a reason for that.
Yes. It's my grandmother's name, actually. And it was her mother's name. And it's Cherokee. Yeah.
It's Cherokee.
Yeah.
So your family, you're Cherokee.
Yeah. Yep. A little bit for me anyway.
A little bit. But your grandmother, was she like full Cherokee?
No, a quarter. So it was like her grandmother's name and her mother's name and her grandmother's name.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
Yeah, thanks. I have always enjoyed that it's different.
It's different and it's significant. It's not just, random, but it's like a very significant thing. I love that.
Yeah. It does sometimes put me in the position where people remember my name, but then I forgot their name.
Yes, because it is easy to remember.
It's hard to forget.
Right. Yeah. Okay, well, we haven't even introduced you yet. We're just talking about your name, but we know your name. We're going to remember that. But will you tell us about you and your ministry context?
Yeah. So I serve at the North American Mission Board on the spouse development team and get just the amazing privilege to work with church planters' wives. We seek to provide training, coaching, and care for them all throughout North America. And my husband and I planted a church in Kansas City about 6 years ago, and we have four kiddos.
So you have a lot going on. You don't need anything else on your plate. Okay, so what do you do for the spouse development team?
Yeah, so I help oversee a lot of our training and coaching and care, like I mentioned earlier, and so just seek to do that. I work all over North America, but I live here in the Midwest. And so do a lot with the Midwest and Ohio Valley and the South as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really thankful for NAM and what they do to support spouses in church planting. And they've developed over the past few years a great team, you being one of them. Yeah. Kathy Litton, who I've interviewed before on the podcast, is the head of that. And I just love that they're investing in wives because I think, I mean, obviously, we both are church planting wives. We know the women are so important to the work of the ministry, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we truly believe that she is a vital part of her husband's ministry and ministry in her home and her neighborhood and really a key ingredient to the health of the church. And so investing in her is kingdom work, and I'm really feel so honored that I get to do it.
Yes. And we're going to talk about a topic today that I think every woman – every Christian woman and I think especially in church planting women experience is loneliness. Are you seeing that as you're working with women?
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, I think ministry wives in general, there's this extra layer of maybe a little bit of fear involved in getting really close with people in your church. But then church planting takes it to like the next level of you don't have any people in your church at first. Right. So you literally are alone or there's very few of you. And so, right. Yeah, I definitely see it in conversations I have with other ministry wives, especially church planters' wives, and then experienced it myself when we planted.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. Why do you, okay, I know everyone listening, they know why the loneliness is there, but can you give words or voice to why, like we're talking church planting specifically, why is there loneliness for women?
Yeah. Well, I think overall the answer of why does loneliness exist would be that we were created for relationship. We were created for intimacy. We were created to be known and to know others. And so there's this big part of just like you can't escape it because it's what we were designed for. We were made to be known and in relationship. And part of it, I'm really thankful for that because what loneliness does is it drives us. It's a signal to us that we aren't in strong, solid relationships where we're known, where we feel like we belong. And there is goodness to that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that loneliness can come. Some of it is our own choice.
Sure.
We disengage.
Absolutely.
Or we isolate ourselves. Some of it is circumstantial. We may be trying our hardest to develop relationships and it's just not clicking in the moment. I believe that God even allows seasons of loneliness so that it will drive us to Him.
Me too.
And so, but I think hurt. Mm-hmm. I think hurt is a big thing that we experience hurt in relationships. And so it makes us want to pull away.
Absolutely. And I think ministry wives in particular have experienced a lot of hurt, and maybe this is their third church and they've watched their husband be hurt or their kids be hurt. And it really does drive pulling away. It's mm-hmm. It's understandable in a lot of ways why a ministry wife would want to pull away. And I think, you know, early in ministry, another pastor's wife was like, she directly just told me, don't be close friends with a lot of women in your church. It's too dangerous, you know? And I'm so thankful for your book about messy, beautiful friendship and how that is not the best advice. But that used to be a regular thing that ministry wives would tell each other is have friends yeah. outside of your church and don't get close to women in your church. And I think that advice was because of hurt and pain that happened in the church.
Yeah, almost like they're wanting to rescue or prevent that woman that's, from experiencing hurt.
Yeah.
But I think that's bad advice.
Me too. Me too. I think it leads to you being in a room with a lot of people and feeling very alone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's the sense of circumstantial loneliness too that can come with being a ministry wife is you might know a lot of people's names and a lot of people know your name, at least when the church is established. But there's a sense of, that's a weird feeling. It's a weird feeling for people. They know your kids' names or they know something about you, but you don't really know them. And it can make you feel kind of other.
Absolutely. Yes. It is hard to describe because I know I've had seasons of loneliness and I even try to talk myself out of it. Like, what is wrong with you? You literally have something to do with people constantly. Like, what is wrong with you? Is this depression? Is this, what is this? You know, and then having to come to the acknowledgement of, no, it's that I'm not allowing people to fully know me or seeking to fully know another. And that's what intimacy is being known and knowing. It's that mutual knowing of one another. And when we resist against that, we feel lonely. But I remember thinking, what's wrong with me? Like I'm constantly with people. People are constantly at our house. I'm constantly at an event with other women. Why do I feel like this?
Mm-hmm. So you say that we should be thankful for and pay attention to feelings of loneliness. I'd love to know what you mean by that.
Yeah, I think it drives us to make some changes in our life. I think I had to get really honest with myself and say, you know, why am I in rooms with people and still feel lonely or have this dissatisfied feeling of not having a really good friend and close connections with people. And so I think it's a signal. I think it's our souls giving us a signal and a warning sign to make some course corrections or some changes. Maybe there's some healing that needs to take place over some past hurt. Maybe that needs to be processed. Or maybe, like you said, there's some choices that we're making that are perpetuating that isolation. I'm thankful for it because it helps me know. I think it's a grace and mercy from the Lord. It helps us know, like, hey, I was designed for relationship and I need to make some changes.
Okay, so will you talk us through some of those changes that you've made when you recognize that feeling?
Yeah, for me, it's really helped me to try to identify what kind of loneliness I might be experiencing. Chip Dodd has really helped totally shaped my thinking on this in his book, The Voice of the Heart. There's a whole chapter on loneliness in that book. Mm-hmm. And he kind of lays out three different types of loneliness. The first one being loneliness of self, loneliness with others, or loneliness and with God or from God. And so for me, a big thing is to go, okay, I feel this dissatisfied kind of longing feeling. Where am I feeling that? Is it relationship with myself? Is it relationship with others? Is it my relationship with God? And so my first step is kind of identifying, where am I feeling that? What's going on there? And then normally processing that with my husband or a close friend, and just reaching out. So a big thing, I think, I already said this, acknowledgement. The reason that's so significant is because I think as a ministry wife in particular, to acknowledge that you're lonely is to acknowledge that you have a need. And that's really hard for us. Yes. Like we are the one who's supposed to have it all together. And we're the one who's supposed to be helping all the other people. And I can so often talk myself out of it because I know 10 stories that are harder or more difficult right. than mine. And so for me, that acknowledgement piece is it's pretty hard for me to do. It's a pretty significant step.
Right. That's so good because maybe it's just me, but I think a lot of ministry wives, we're so used to action and doing something mm-hmm. and activity and busyness that what I do when I have those feelings of loneliness is I want to avoid that feeling. And so I do a workaround. Instead of acknowledging the feeling, I go straight to action. Yeah. And not always connecting with someone, but just staying busy. And I think it's important, as you said, to stop and acknowledge it. Because it's a point of connection. Like you said, we could, and what's going on inside of ourselves? Mm-hmm. What's going on with the Lord? What is he doing? And then we can take action. But it's like stopping and acknowledging the feeling is so important first.
Yeah.
But it's super, super hard when you recognize that to go, I do have a need for relationship, but I don't quite know how to get there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's even, you know, you asked earlier, like, do I hear about this a lot? And I said, yes, very quickly, but honestly, I don't hear very many ministry wives use the word lonely. Mm. I think because they're surrounded by people mm-hmm. and they have a lot of, I'm using air quotes here, relationships, right? Mm-hmm. That we have a lot of relationships. And so it even feels foreign for us to say, I feel lonely. Like, that's even, we resist against even saying that because we know 500 names of people and our phone rings constantly, or we are never lacking in activity and events. And so it's even hard to just say, but I still feel lonely.
Mm-hmm. Can you speak more about feeling lonely with yourself?
Yeah. I think as women, this is ministry wife or not, I think this is a particularly hard one. It's knowing your feelings and understanding what you're feeling and what's going on in your head. And honestly, the antithesis to being connected with yourself is busyness. And that's why I think this one is harder for women in general, is because there is always a running to-do list in my head. There is always, you know, I need to make a dentist appointment for one of my kids, and my other kiddo lost their retainer, and we're clearly having a lot of dental problems over here. Now, that's my actual to-do list. But you know, there's always things to do, and a really big warning sign for disconnection from self or loneliness from self would be living at such a pace that you aren't thinking. You're you're not aware of your thinking. Mm-hmm. You're not, you know, you're having a lot of automatic thoughts. You're having a lot of discourse in your head about what you need to get done, but you're not kind of evaluating, am I speaking truth to myself? How am I feeling? What is going on in my head and my heart? Where's there sin in my life that might need repentance? Where is there even time for gratitude and thankfulness? Like, all those are disconnections from self, and you become low. I know I feel that, like, gosh, I haven't had a moment to think. I haven't had a moment to like just process how I feel about what happened yesterday with that friend or with my kiddo, or the fact that our car broke down again. I haven't even had a moment to process it. And you start to really, I start to become kind of bitter against the busyness, bitter against someone else asking for my time. Those are warning signs for me when something that I enjoy doing becomes not fun or joy-filled anymore. That's when I know, like, I'm overextending myself and I'm becoming lonely for a little bit of space.
Yeah. Yeah. What you're describing, I'm imagining our soul getting suffocated under activity and busyness and needs and things to do. But our souls need light. They need water. They need, like, plants to grow. They need the light of day. And so we have to let the core of who we are, we have to pay attention, like you said, and speak truth and allow God's light and his water to, I think of Jesus being called the light of the world and the living water. We need that. And if we're not paying attention, that's that sense of loneliness. I think we often think of loneliness in terms of relationships with other people, but we don't think about it, not even knowing ourselves and being in tune with ourselves. But you also mentioned loneliness. Did you say with God or from God?
Yeah, I think I said both.
Okay.
Because I'm not exactly sure how to phrase it, but it's a similar concept of that living at such an intense pace that you aren't really resting with the Lord in abiding in Him. Even, you know, if maybe you're reading your Bible every day, but there's no time at the end to just really sit and hear from the Lord or process what you're learning about His character. I think God is always near to us. I think we need the space and the time to really feel it and acknowledge it, right? I know for me, we lived overseas for 4 years as missionaries with Campus Crusade, and it was one of the loneliest. The beginning, the first year was very lonely for me. I went from living in the States where I could go to Chick-fil-A at any time and meet other moms at the play place, you know, there's nowhere I can go where I could understand what people are saying and meet a new friend or have a new connection. It takes a lot of time to build really deep connecting friendships. But around the 1 year mark, I remember really spending time. I was in the Psalms, and Psalm 16:11 says, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." And I remember thinking, okay, I'm not experiencing the fullness of joy. And right here in my Bible, it says, in your presence is the fullness of joy. And so I just remember trying really hard to start a daily practice of sitting in God's presence and reminding myself of his presence in my life, in our home. And it was a really big game changer for me. It still took time to form other friendships, but I think I had really taken the Lord's presence and nearness for granted and wasn't being intentional with acknowledging his presence and the joy that was accessible for me, that was there for me if I would take it, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's so good. I love that example because I said earlier at the very beginning, I said, I think sometimes God allows seasons of loneliness. And you just described why I think that's true. Because he wants to teach us that relationships with other people are never going to fully satisfy that longing that we have for connection. He's going to give us the gift of community and friendship. But ultimately, we need him. And I went through seasons of loneliness where I look back and go, that was the Lord doing that for the same reason, because I wasn't meeting with him. I was not looking to him. I was looking to people. Yeah. And so he taught me that in a hard way.
Right.
But I value now those seasons of what I would call wilderness years or wilderness seasons because I learned so much about my need for him.
Mm-hmm. Me too. And I think I'm a better friend to others because of that. I'm not looking to my friends to satisfy my soul completely, right? Yeah. I was designed for friendship with them. I need to have intimate friendships, but when our soul is resting in God and in our relationship with God, we're better friends. We're better ministers of the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think that talking about this is so important, especially for us as ministry wives?
Yeah, I think it's important because really everything within us fights against it. We live in a culture that values self-sufficiency. We view dependency on others with hatred and disdain. In the West here, we want to be able to do it. And I am enough. I got this. I can do it all my own. And so I think it's important for us to talk about because we, frankly, we fight against it harder than almost anything else. Listen to what this is from Chip Dodd's book, Voice of the Heart, that I mentioned earlier. He says, unacknowledged loneliness makes orphans of us all. All we get for surviving our loneliness rather than using its gifts is its results. We wind up alone.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Surviving our loneliness rather than using its gifts. What does that mean, using its gifts?
Yeah, I love that particular phrase from the quote, like surviving it, just bearing under it, never acknowledging it, but using its gifts, meaning a signal and a warning sign. Like, hey, I'm missing out on something that I was designed for. And so how can I be satisfied in God's presence? How can I reach out to others and let them know I'm lonely? Where do I need to take more time and space to think about my thinking and really acknowledge what brings me joy in life and get to know myself better? So those are those would be the gifts of loneliness.
Yes, yes. So I'm thinking about my own life and when I've recognized seasons of loneliness, sometimes it is from the Lord and I want to wait and trust him. Sometimes it's, as I said earlier, it's my own choices that have led me into I would say more isolation than loneliness. And I think a big reason for that is my unwillingness to be vulnerable with other people. Mm-hmm. And so it causes me to, I can be in their presence. I can be around a lot of people, but if I'm not letting people know me, then there's no connection point for relationship. Have you experienced that?
Yeah, definitely. One of my personal kind of warning signs for, hey, you're experiencing loneliness would be an intolerance for small talk. So I can be in a room full of people, and if we're having a lot of small talk conversations, I can feel myself being kind of like, oh my gosh, I'm I'm over it. Like, I'm tired of hearing about whatever book you're reading or what. And then I'm just like, whoa, what is going on? And it's a longing for deeper connection. And it's a sign that, like, I'm not having deeper connection, because if I have some balance in my relationships, if I have some deeper connection, then I'm interested in the book my neighbor's reading, because that's actually how we build relationship, right? We don't just go deep fast always. We have to be normal and start out with normal things, right? But when I'm having an intolerance for that, I really recognize that I am lacking in the area of deeper connection.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, the goal in life is that we would have deep connection and intimacy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So can you speak to what is that? What does that look like? Intimacy.
Yeah. I know even that word, we're kind of like, oh, what are we talking about? Like, feels uncomfortable, you know, like, we're talking about marital intimacy. We're talking about friendship. Like, what are we talking about? But really, intimacy is the opposite of loneliness. It's mutual knowing and being known. It's vulnerability begets intimacy. Being vulnerable and allowing another to be vulnerable with you is what that is. Intimacy is being known, being laid bare. Like, this is me, this is my faults, this is who I am. And it's not saying I'm gonna stay here or you're gonna allow me to stay here in my faults or brokenness or mistakes, but it is allowing another to know those things and then move forward with grace and kindness for one another.
And every ministry wife listening to that is they just got the heebie-jeebies, like,
right?
What? I can't do that with anybody.
Yeah.
I'm the pastor's wife. How do I do that?
Yeah.
Rivers, give us all the answers.
My only answer would be is you shouldn't do that with everybody in your church. You know, not everybody needs to know all of the things, but you should do it with some. And you are probably going to have to do it like I do it, with fear, with a little bit of fear. And that's what vulnerability is. It's stepping outside of the safe, comfortable thing that you know somebody will be fine with. It's kind of crossing that line into, this person might reject me, or they might tell somebody else about how I yell at my kids constantly, or whatever it is, right? Like, but we can't. God has designed relationships, and we need them. We need them.
I think it's important to ask, and I've had to do this for myself, because vulnerability has been very scary for me at times. And I have to ask myself, why?
Yeah.
Why am I scared? Well, everybody's answer might be a little bit different, but for me, it's often been, I don't want them to see behind the curtain and know that I don't know what I'm doing half the time. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't have it together, and they're going to think less of me when they know the truth.
Yeah.
And this is going to affect my husband's ability to pastor them.
Yeah.
They may reject me. It's very scary to let people know you when you're in leadership.
Yeah.
And I like that you said that it's risky. It is inherently risky
to
be vulnerable. But what I have found is the risk is worth the reward.
Yeah.
That often what I fear doesn't actually happen. Instead of it making people run away, it is like a magnet for people, because they're looking for realness. They're looking.
100% agree.
That's what I want in a friend. I want somebody who will be honest with me and let me know them.
Yeah.
And so there's a reward in that, following that risk.
Yeah.
I believe.
Yeah, I agree. And I agree. I think it's really courageous work to be vulnerable and step outside of what is maybe even expected of you as a ministry wife, and to be vulnerable with others. And it's why we fight against it, is because it's really scary and it is taking a risk. I think the key to being able to do that is having a really deep understanding of our gospel identity and who Christ says we are. Because, and it has happened to me where someone was like, whoa, I didn't want to know that. I didn't want to know that about my pastor or his family, you know? That is hard. And I, you know, often that has circled back around and they were like, actually, that really helped me. It was an uncomfortable thing I said, you know, but I think you're right. I think people are attracted to vulnerability and it takes, courage to do it. And the courage for me has been resting in who Jesus says I am. Mm-hmm. And so the result of how someone responds to me, I am always hoping for gospel acceptance, right? But really, Jesus has already given me that.
Right. That's such a good point. And I do think, yes, you're right. Sometimes people, you can see the panic in their eyes of, oh my goodness, I have no idea how to respond. This is my pastor's wife.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I do this with everybody, but I would say this is in some ways sometimes testing the water. Will you with me into vulnerability? And if they can't do it, that's okay. But that also gives me an indication this is not going to be a deep friendship.
This is going to be
something else, and that's okay.
That's right.
But some people will go with you, and those are the people that will develop into deep friendship.
Yes, that's such a good word. And I've even seen those friendships where I was, and I love how you put that into words, like you're kind of testing the waters, you know, and I've seen those friendships grow. It just took a lot longer. And some of it was just that person growing in their faith mm-hmm. and maturity level, me growing, you know, sometimes it just takes a really long time, but I will scoop it up when you test the waters and that person will go with you and they feel comfortable. And that's a huge sweet gift from Jesus.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And also if they don't, you've at least set the stage that, you know what, if later on down the road, if you have something that goes south in your life, you know that I'm a safe person. You can come and tell that to because I'm not putting up this facade that I have it all together.
That's right. That's right.
So it gives ministry opportunities as well. We said in the beginning that a lot of ministry wives, this is loneliness can come because we've been hurt and we want to protect ourselves. And when we protect ourselves, we can't connect with other people.
Right.
And so can you speak to that of for somebody listening who's been really hurt and they're just saying to themselves, the risk is too great. I'm not going to do it. What would you say?
Yeah, I would start with that intimacy with God and make sure that is really a regular habit and daily grace that you're practicing, just spending really good time with Jesus and resting in who he says you are. And then I would say if there is really so much fear around kind of testing those waters of friendship with people, that you need to reach out to somebody outside of your church where that feels a little more safe and start processing through that hurt and really crying out to the Lord for some healing from that of letting go and moving forward. And then remind yourself, that Chip Dodd quote, I hear it in my head sometimes, even I apply it to other things like, you know, surviving this, the results I'm getting is loneliness. Like you can survive it. You can remain isolated. And that's what the results will be is loneliness and isolation. And so my encouragement would be to really spend time with Jesus, let him remind you of who you are, and then to reach out to someone.
Yes. That's good. The way God designed it is when we're hurt, we can heal some alone with him. Right. But he also has given us the church who sometimes the church hurts us, but the church is also the gift for healing that God has given us. And the church doesn't mean necessarily always our specific church, but God's people.
That's right.
Full healing comes in his work through other people too. And so the hurt can come through relationships, but the healing comes through relationships too. right?
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think there's so far that we can get by ourselves, but without another human to enter in with us and offer acceptance. I just heard Paul Tripp say this about parenting, and I think it applies to relationships. Like, God gives us grace. It's invisible, right? But he allows us to have relationships with one another to offer invisible grace in a visible form to one another. We're conduits of grace. And so that you cannot get that alone.
That's right. Okay, so last question. There are women who are listening who they know that they're sitting in isolation. Maybe we talked about the hurt thing, but, or let's just say this is a woman who just feels extreme loneliness and she's been in time with the Lord. And I'm thinking, like, what's something practical as far as, okay, a step to reach out or a step, what could she do today to change, as you talked about earlier?
Yeah. I think, and I know this sounds like a really simple thing, is make time and space for relationships. Like, ask a friend to do something with you. I actually had a friend just this week text me at like 9 at night and just said, could we hang out for 30 minutes? And I was like, whoa, like that doesn't happen to me very often. And I was like really ready for bed, but I just was like, yeah, let's hang out, you know? And so we were able to hang out. And I, at the end of it, I just said, thanks for asking me to hang out. Like, we actually went to her workplace and we ate some ice cream and that was like all, and then we left. But it really ministered to my soul that she felt a little bit lonely and she reached out and asked me to hang out. It ended up being very filling for me. And so I know it sounds so simple, and yet we don't do it because of the pace we live, because of we don't want to look needy. And I was so grateful that she did it. It ministered to me. It really blessed me. And so my answer is, ask somebody to do something with you.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's great advice. I always have a running list of, okay, I want to make sure I hang out with that person. I want to make sure I hang out with this person. I want to connect with this person. And just, you know, when I have pockets of time, just being intentional and taking the initiative to make sure I'm seeing friends. That's who I'm talking about. It's like,
that's
people
right,
who are life-giving. You know, we're going to see a lot of people, but yeah, who are the people that fill you up when you spend time with them, making sure you're consistently spending time with
them. Yes. And that's a good distinction, because I think that's why this is particularly hard for ministry wives, is there's always a list of people they need to hang out with, that they need to connect with and check on them. But is there someone that you could ask, could we go on a walk together or spend 30 minutes together or an hour, or even have a phone call while you drive a long drive? Someone that gives you life, that there's mutual give and take in that friendship, someone like that.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you so much, Rivers. Thanks for giving voice to what we all feel and helping us to think about it a little more deeply.
My pleasure. I'm thankful for you, Christine.
Thanks so much for listening to the Ministry Wives podcast, a production of the North American Mission Board. If you found this content helpful, please subscribe, rate, and review us on your podcast platform, or share it with a friend. You can find this podcast and other helpful resources at ministrywivespodcast.com.